hello and welcome in again to the Worship Life Podcast with Mike Harlan. This is Brian Brown, your co-host. We are in Music City, USA, high atop the brand spanking new.
It's brand new. Well, actually,
building. Well, it's 7 months.
We're coming up on a year.
No. Wow, a year since we moved in. We moved in like November 18th, I think, was our first day. For some reason,
something like that.
In my memory. Yeah. So, wow. That's hard to believe,
yeah,
but it still looks new, feels
yeah.
new. We need folks to come
it.
See us when you're in Nashville.
Love it.
Come to the Lifeway building here at the corner of 11th Avenue North and
here's the
Lifeway
thing, Brian,
Plaza.
We're never going back to those old buildings. You know how I know?
They're not there anymore.
they've been imploded, and
yeah.
there's a little bit of piece of one section
right.
that hasn't been demolished yet. And, of course, the Frost Building, the original
building.
The
original building there on 8th Avenue is in the historical record. It'll be there for
yeah, it's ever. Not going to be destroyed.
That's right.
So that one will always be there. So if anybody wants to go by and see that, it's still on 8th Avenue. But
yeah.
the other ones have been blown up, and I'm so glad we weren't in them
when
that happened.
Yes. Yes, that's good. They're gone, and there's some beautiful new things coming. Oftentimes, I'm sure there's a biblical principle about you have to tear something down before
yeah.
you can rebuild it.
Exactly.
But yeah, these are beautiful studios, Mike, and it's just we got a great podcast studio here that we record the Worship Life Podcast in, and it's just a treat. It's just a treat.
The BB McKinney, historic.
Oh, don't forget BB.
Yeah, we could never forget it.
Absolutely not. The first director of the church music department of the Baptist Sunday School Board, and the living, he was a legacy for all of us, Mike.
No question.
And we follow in his footsteps.
No question.
So today we're going to talk about, speaking of people we've learned lessons from, we've learned many from the life and ministry of B.B. McKinney. But you and I have served many pastors over the years. They might have a different view of our time with them than service, but
we have
been on church staffs.
Yeah, well, this will be volume three of this series.
That's right. So. Volume three of lessons we've learned from pastors we've known.
Yeah.
And Mike, today you want to talk about the Billy Graham rule. Now, when did you serve on Billy Graham's staff?
Well, now, that doesn't imply that I served with Billy Graham.
All right.
I never did meet Dr. Graham. I did meet Cliff Barris, and I met Bev Shea.
Oh, man.
But I did not have the privilege of meeting Dr. Graham. But I did work with one of the most influential men in my life. He was a pastor I respected and admired as a child growing up because he pastored in my hometown. He didn't pastor my home church, but he was pastoring in my hometown. Gifted speaker, somebody I heard preach a lot of times, especially when I was in high school. And then later, one of the great privileges of my life was the day he called me and said, I'd like you to come be at my church. And be my worship pastor, and that was at the great Cross Gates Baptist Church in Brandon,
yeah.
Mississippi. I love that church to this day. And that pastor's name was Tommy Vinson, Brother Tommy. Oh, my goodness. And, of course, he went on to pastor some great churches, a wonderful church down in Florida. He pastored a great church in Memphis for many years. And the last ministry assignment for Brother Tommy was at First Baptist Church, Collierville, Tennessee,
okay.
where he was the teaching pastor. He was not the senior pastor. That's my friend Chuck Herring, but who's still there. But Tommy was a teaching pastor on that staff, and then now is retired from that role, and he preaches somewhere every Sunday.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I was with him recently at an event we did at Blue Mountain College, and I learned so much from Tommy Vinson. He's one of the godliest men I've ever known. He's a great teacher of the Bible. If you're anywhere near somewhere where Tommy's preaching, go hear this guy preach because he's a gifted communicator. Yeah. Kind of in the long, for you old timers out there, in the school of Ron Dunn or
yep.
a Manly Beasley, kind of a teaching
yeah.
pastor. That'd be Tommy's style. But just a gracious man. His wife, Rose, a beautiful couple, and one of the godliest people I've ever known, and one of the great privileges of my life was serving on staff with him at Cross Gates Baptist Church in Brandon. And he had a rule that he didn't call it this, but it's what people call it today,
mm-hmm.
The Billy Graham rule.
Right.
And there'll be some people out there that understand this rule, but I'm wondering, Brian, do you know what the Billy Graham?
Well, I know that the current vice president, yes. Mike Pence, is a one who follows this rule. Yeah, it's really about, and I don't know that I would describe it exactly as Billy Graham described it, but essentially, you're never in a situation with a person of the opposite sex where you could be found compromised. And so it's about never being alone with someone that's not your wife.
Yeah,
essentially avoiding.
That's the epic. Expression of it. Yeah. That's the simplest expression of this rule. I remember hearing Tommy say one time, if he was driving down the road and it was a thunderstorm, raining cats and dogs, and he saw a young lady on the side of the road with a flat tire and she was out there trying to change it, he would not stop and help her. He would roll his window down. He used to joke about it, and I know he was being dramatic. He'd say, I'd roll it down about a quarter of an inch and I would holler at her, who can I call for you?
Yeah.
And obviously that was an exaggerated example, but Tommy modeled this, and there were three or four ways that this was demonstrated in his life. And when I served with him, of course, I probably had thought some of these things before then, but when I served with him, I saw the way he lived this out, and what an amazing example it was to me. And I want to tell you, it's a lifesaver for anybody that's in ministry, whether it's a man or a woman. If you're in a ministry position, your care in this area will be very instrumental to safeguarding your ministry as you interact with people at all levels.
Yeah, I'm thinking, Mike, Steve Green has a great song, others might have recorded it, called Guard Your Heart.
Yes.
And ultimately, you know, we talk about our physical presence and the temptation. Just you don't want to create an opportunity for the devil to get in there. But boy, guarding your heart, it's just so critical. And we have an enemy, you know, who's seeking to. I think, Mike, I always think when I read that, you know, he's crouching. You know, and I think about, I used to watch the old, like, Mutual of Omaha, and there'd be a pack of wildebeest, right? Yeah. You know, and then there'd be this lion, like, crouching, and he's just hiding just under the grass. And I remember, Mike, there'd be a little baby wildebeest, and he wouldn't be that far behind the pack, just a little slower, just a little bit far away. And then that lion would come in, and man, that's the one they would take. And before you know it, a bunch of lions are on him. And the illustration for me, and the thing I think about the Billy Graham rule, you don't have to go way far.
No, you don't.
You can just, if you just drift a little bit away, and that's what this rule is really about. Boy, if you'll keep yourself from even drifting a little bit away from God's will for your life, you're going to be so much safer, because just a few inches away is too far.
So let's talk about some of the practical applications of this idea of being careful when you are in proximity with people of the opposite sex.
Yeah.
And really, any kind of relationship that goes beyond a biblical relationship of friendship and a fellow servant in the service of the Lord, those relationships can get intense and can overcome us, become emotional, all of the things that come into play. Some of these practical things, like a Billy Graham type rule, really come into play. So. I want to unpack that just a little bit.
Yeah, please.
So here's what that looked like for me. It still looks this way. As a matter of fact, I'm grateful to be able to say, Brian, our Lifeway practices this.
Yeah.
It is a matter of policy here at Lifeway. We don't ride male and female in a car together anywhere. We're not at a lunch appointment or any kind of private social setting where it's two members of a team, opposite sex. It just doesn't happen. It's actually against our corporate behavior guidelines for that to happen. And some people would say, well, it's 2018. That's prudish. That's not realistic.
Right.
But I tell you what, it's a lifesaver for people that are in ministry. So it really does really start right there. And that is an appreciation and a sensitivity to the proximity that you allow people from the opposite sex to have to you in your ministry role. It starts right there. So
avoiding even the appearance of impropriety is so critical for ministers.
Yeah.
You know, we all know, Mike, that people, any human being is going to let you down.
Yeah.
But we also know that we serve human beings, and so they have a tendency to project too much probably onto their leaders. And so we have a higher responsibility. There's a scripture that says you shouldn't presume to want to be a teacher or a leader because more is required of you.
Yeah.
And I think for worship leaders, that's a good reminder that, more is required if you're going to be in a leadership kind of a role.
Yeah. And if you think about that as a musician, think about the very practical, even likely scenarios where as a worship leader, you could be isolated with an individual.
Yeah, absolutely.
It could be the soloist that's practicing their solo or the co-writing session where you're working on a song or on and on. I mean, you could just go on and on. The variables are endless. So here's some of the practical things that I've done through the years. I've got to give a shout out to Margie Lunsford. I know you know Margie, but for three different churches that I served, Margie was my assistant. She was my administrative assistant. And boy, you want to see somebody enforce a policy like this. You should see Marty is what I called her, but Margie Lunsford enforcing the Billy Graham rule on my behalf. I made it clear to my assistant that at no time would I be alone with her, and I never was, not in a private way. I mean, there were times we were in an office, but the door was open, you know, and certainly never a time would be private. But she understood that I counted on her to not allow that to happen. If somebody had come to see me, and maybe it was a spontaneous meeting where, you know, we weren't hadn't planned ahead, but there's somebody who wanted to talk to me. And if a young lady or a woman walked into my office and closed the door behind her before she could sit down, Margie had that door back open.
Yeah.
She was consistently protecting me and guarding those things. If I had someone in my office with me, she didn't leave for lunch until they were not in my office anymore. She didn't go home early or would let me know that she had to leave and I had to wrap up that meeting. And that was not an imposition. That was not a we weren't trying to be legalistic or pharisaical about it, but we were very strict in that she protected me. And she did that because I asked her to and I expected her to. And boy, she took that responsibility seriously and always made sure that I was not made vulnerable, because in ministry, you can get so wrapped up in what you're doing, you can become more insensitive about those things happening around
you.
So to have someone that's watching that for you is really critical. So that would be step one. Let the people around you know this is a policy and a practice that you're going to enforce.
Yeah.
And that's carries true to this very day here at Lifeway for me and really for all of us. The second thing I want to point out is when you're doing this is to involve your spouse in your ministry. Now, I was talking about Tommy being the guy that modeled this for me. Well, one of the protections Tommy had in ministry is his wife, Rose, was never very far away from him.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
Even when he was in his office and maybe she wasn't there, and which would be a lot of time during the day, her pictures are everywhere in his office. He's constantly referring to her. He's bringing her up in conversation. He's talking to her. If he met someone else, he would very quickly make sure that she met them.
Yep.
I mean, he and I think about in my life, the role that Teresa has in my life regarding this is so critical to me.
Yep.
If there was for a moment any question about any relationship I would have, Teresa would be the first person that I would say, hey, I want you to know this is somebody I've met, and I want you to be aware of this person and know that they're going to be part of our team or whatever. Just want you to be aware. I constantly keep her informed and make it a point to introduce her to everybody that I come in contact with, so that people are aware of Teresa, to honor her, to demonstrate consistently that she's a big part of my life. She is my life. She's my mate. She's my partner in ministry. And Teresa was such a big part of my ministry. I always aspired that when people thought of me, they thought of her.
Yeah.
And that they saw us as one person. Where you were talking about isolating that wildebeest.
Yeah.
All right. The slipperiest slope of all is when any ministry leader gets isolated.
Totally. I agree with that.
And isolated from other ministers and isolated from their family.
Yeah.
That's right. If their family's not around, not present, not, you know, whatever, you are isolating someone, and there's a lion that is crouched following the herd looking for that opportunity to step in there. And boy, Tommy modeled that so well. Rose was present in his ministry, and his life was very obviously involved all around her, and that was publicly known.
Yeah, Mike, I'm thinking about how many times have I heard, I've watched a marriage fall apart, one that you wouldn't expect, and then one of the first statements you hear out of people's mouths is, oh, we were living separate lives for years.
Yeah.
And I immediately think, see, that's it starts there.
It starts
as just an isolation from your spouse, and then that leads to other things. It's so important and so critical. You know, I remember growing up these days, you know, if you have one child, you need at least a 5-bedroom, 3-bath house. But when we grew up, I say the house hunters all the time, well, we have a baby now, so we need the 4-bedroom. But we grew up, you know, my brother was in my room with me.
Yeah.
And there's something about, you got to learn to live together.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You have to learn to live together. And it should be that with your wife. You know, if you keep that presence together, you're going to work through those problems. You'll be forced to. And I think too much in our society today, our first instinct is to avoid and then isolate, and then you're vulnerable. You're just like that wildebeest. You're out there all by yourself.
Well, the third thing I would point to is a consistent articulation of your commitment to your spouse.
Yeah, that's good.
Man, I am all the time to this day. I'm talking about what Teresa, and this is harder to do at Lifeway than it was in the local church. In the local church, Teresa was always all up in
they
the middle
her,
of everything.
Yeah.
Everybody knew her and all. But we don't have bring your wife to work day here at Lifeway very often.
Right.
I wish we did, but we don't. But people are, I wanted the people to know that I'm working with that of my commitment to her, of the way that I cherish and want to honor my relationship with her. And one of the highest compliments I was ever paid, I had a woman in my church, in one church I served, pay this compliment to me. She said, because our children's choirs happened, they overlapped a little bit with the start of adult choir. And I had a woman tell me one time, she could tell when Teresa walked into the choir room. She didn't have to see Teresa walk in.
Yeah.
Because Teresa had been in children's choirs, and she was going to be a little late to the start to getting to choir room. So she said, I didn't have to see Teresa walk in the room. She said, I knew when she walked in the room by watching you.
That's good.
And she said, I wish my husband would light up the way you do when Teresa walks in the room. And of course, that was a danger to me hear her say that.
Yeah.
That made me nervous when she said that. But boy, I wanted that to be true, and I want that to be true. I want the people around me to know that there's a person in my life that I'm 100% committed to, and then I'm not going to compromise that under any circumstance. So the Billy Graham rule is this very simple. I'm not going to get in the car. I'm not going to go to a restaurant. I'm going to have other people present. I know somebody, I'm not going to call his name, but I know somebody that won't get on an elevator with another woman.
I know you're talking about.
Yeah, and that actually here at Lifeway, somebody had that experience of where he stepped off an elevator rather than ride alone with someone else. And boy, whether or not an individual would take it, go to that far with that would be something that each person needs to figure out. But man, I respect the heck out of that. I do. I respect the fact that this guy's thought about that, and he's going to be that careful. There's one more aspect of this I want to throw out there, though, and I've got to call another preacher's name to bring this one out. We're getting into some sensitive aspects of this topic, but my mind is taking me here, and I just feel like I ought to share this. One of the men that modeled this so well for me was my father-in-law, Ralph Stovall, Teresa's dad. And people that know us know that Brother Ralph was a pastor and was a great pastor. He started the church that he pastored for many years where Teresa grew up, and pastored that church until his health made it impossible for him to do that. And he finally retired, and he passed away several years ago now. But when I was dating Teresa, we were just dating. He asked me to come lead a revival in their church. And of course, at the time I thought he disliked the way I sang, but I didn't realize I look back on it and realize he was checking me out, you know, because I was dating, sure. I was dating Teresa when we were going to be engaged very soon after this. And we were in a car. I would have been 19 years old. So I want you to picture. I know that I'm going to be a minister and I'm going to serve churches. Mm-hmm. And I'm in a car with my future father-in-law because I'm leading a revival in his church. And he and I were out making visits for the church.
Right.
And so along the way in that car ride, Brother Ralph gave me some of the most profound words of wisdom on this subject. He told me something. He said, Mike, I want you to understand something about ministry. He said, when God created man and woman, he created men to be spiritual leaders. We have that responsibility. We are designed and actually commissioned by God to be spiritual leaders in our homes. At the same time, he created the woman to be responsive to spiritual leadership. And that's the beauty of God's design. You don't have to read very far outside of the book of Ephesians chapter 5 to see this described as Paul was talking to the church at Ephesus, how a man would love his wife as Christ loved the church, and a woman would respect and submit to her husband, and submission in the best part of that word, not the hard part of that word that everybody tries to make it say, but a willing submission from love and from concern and respect. And Ralph, Brother Ralph told me, and this, of course, Teresa and I weren't married yet.
Right.
And he told me, he said, Mike, don't ever think that when a woman in a church is seems to be attracted to you, that is something about you that's attractive to her. He said, you need to understand that God made men to be spiritual leaders, and he made women to be responsive to spiritual leadership. And of course, women can be spiritual leaders as well, but God's designed for the home. And he said, you need to know, you will be seen, if you're in ministry, you will be seen as a spiritual leader. Yeah. You will portray a spiritual leadership just in the execution of your duties. You're going to, when people look at your life, they're going to say, there's a spiritual leader. And there are going to be women in, around you that are going to be attracted to the spiritual leadership that you exude. Now, whether or not you really are a spiritual leader, that's a different matter altogether. But you're certainly going to portray that you are a spiritual leader. And he said, don't be foolish to think that the women around you are attracted to you. They're attracted to spiritual leadership because that's how God made that to be. And so he gave me a big, big warning. He said, in ministry, you've got to be extremely careful because you will always have an attraction to some women in this area because of their perception that you're a spiritual leader. But here's the punchline of his advice. He says, but the day you give in to their attraction, you will no longer be the thing that attracted them to you in the first place.
Hmm.
And I've been unpacking that statement for the last 38 years. I don't know that I completely understand all of the ramifications of it. But he said, you will actually betray the very character that is attractive to them in the first place if you ever give into that kind. So he gave me some of the most practical advice and really gives me the why the Billy Graham rule for people that are in church leadership, why it's so important. And I'd say this for anyone listening, no matter what your gender is, you have to have an integrity about your relationships because when you deal with the spirituality of people, you touch them a very deep place in their emotion, their psyche, and it can be confusing to people that are going through difficulties and having challenges in their life, and they can think what they're attracted to in you is a good thing when it's actually an ungodly thing, and that they have that kind of attraction, and you don't need to allow any room for that to be nurtured or fostered in your life. The Billy Graham rule. Thank you, Tommy Vinson, and thank you, father-in-law Ralph Stovall, for pouring that into my life. It's been a guiding principle for me for many years.
I tell you, Mike, you know, we've seen so many recently fall. It's such a dangerous trap, and so many are falling. It almost seems like almost a daily basis, and it just reminds me at the end of the day, in our own strength, no matter what examples we've seen, and no matter how hard we try, we'll fail without the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we just got to constantly ask for His presence. As human beings, we're not strong enough to resist the temptation of the devil, but praise God, the Holy Spirit living inside of us is strong enough to do it. And praise God for the example of men who knew that, and for us to be able to see men who let the Holy Spirit protect them from that kind of a fall.
Yeah, and you know what? Here's the thing I would say to anybody out there. There may be somebody listening to this. Well, that's not a big issue for me. Let me tell you something. I don't care who you are, what stage of life you're in. You and I are one or two or three decisions away from making the worst mistake that you could even, you could not even imagine what you and I are capable of if we got in the right situation and compromised some of these protections that we've placed in our lives. So none of us have arrived. We can't ever let our guard down. We've got to stay true to the end to honor the Lord we serve.
That's a good word. Well, I'd love to hear how the Billy Graham rule plays out in your life and your ministry. Email us, worship@lifeway.com, or join us for the discussion at the Worship Life blog. Love to hear examples, maybe from ministers that you've served and how they demonstrated these kinds of principles in their lives and what it was, how it was helpful to you in your ministry. As always, we'd love for you to email us and let us know how we can pray for you, your church, and your ministry specifically. The Lifeway Worship Team, we gather together frequently, and we pray for each other. And we certainly pray for the churches that we serve. So let us know how we can do that. Also, rate and review the podcast. That lets other people join the discussion. Until next time, from Mike Harlan, this is Brian Brown saying thanks for joining us today. We'll be back together to talk about worship very soon.